Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. Had a good session of D&D before we got in here today and left you guys in a little bit of a suspenseful spot for your main characters.
Yeah, Emily was not happy with that.
I know, it was great. I had to stop her before she said what she was planning on doing.
Oh, come on. That would be...
Because it was...
That was fair.
Yeah,
that
was beautiful.
That, I mean, I am looking forward to how we... I did call it. Did I not call it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I was hoping that you were still going to walk in there with everybody else. Because I wanted you guys to get caught like that.
Did you expect me to put up that shield like that?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Fuck.
That
you
was,
know me too well.
Okay. My theory was as soon as you knew that there were going to be that many, you're going to throw up the shield, and then somebody was going to try to figure out some way to either get you guys out of there or to blast them all away.
I think Emily was about ready to blast them.
Exactly. So I was like, I have to wait until he puts the shield up and then stop him. and suspense.
Guess we walked right into the DM's trap.
For once.
I mean...
You didn't skirt around it.
We kind of knew, though. Like, I literally said it all out, what would be happening.
Okay.
And then we did it.
This is why this is happening. I have not yet gotten to do a Halloween game for us.
Okay.
Because last year during Halloween, we were in the middle of a
place
where I couldn't actually do, like, a Halloween theme.
Yeah, because I think we actually did... We did the drunk D&D, did we not?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did the one-off.
Yeah. And so, like, I couldn't actually do, you know, like, what I wanted to do. So I'm like, you know what? I'm like, fuck it. I was like, this one and the next one are going to be a setup for...
Okay. Hey, I'm down for it. I kind of look forward to that, actually. It's kind of fun. But hey, we are... you're joining me today because we're going back to Swamp Thing.
Woohoo!
Fucking
love Swamp Thing.
Dude... These,
granted, you know, this is the only Swamp Thing I've ever read. Like these, this arc or this, well, not arc, but the,
well, it's
the Alan Moore ones,
the issues. Yeah. I'm loving it. I'll say it now. These issues are amazing. I'm
way
I've been loving
better than the '90s TV show, or is that '80s? I don't remember
might
anymore.
Be late '80s, early '90s.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I have yet to watch the one on the DC streaming app, the DC Universe.
Yeah, me either, because I don't have that.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that's right, I do, because it's...
Yeah.
Well, now I have something else to do at work, if that'll actually work with my internet
go.
At work.
Yeah. It's I've heard nothing but great things about it. The sad thing is that it got canceled after one season because of cost. Like, they couldn't afford...
CGI where they, or...
No, where they were filming at, which I think was in North Carolina. I could be wrong.
They didn't go to...
They weren't paying... No. North Carolina wouldn't pay them to use... There was some cost problem that...
Gotcha.
...fell through. Like, they cut back the show from 13 episodes to 10, and then after the first episode aired, it was canceled.
Damn.
Yeah. So I'm hoping with this deal with the HBO or the Warner Brothers streaming app they plan on putting out, that they maybe pick it up or HBO picks it up or something...
But if the WB picks it up, then it's just going to be, you know...
Well, I heard on a... I believe it was on Fortress of Comic News. They were talking about it, Chris and Mike. They were talking about how their thought is, if DC Universe isn't working out like it's not, because it really isn't working out like it's supposed to, that they're just going to move everything over to... either the Warner Brothers app or the HBO app.
Okay, so they're going to do it similar to like what Marvel did with like Daredevil and stuff like that.
No, but they're actually going to move them instead of them dying on Netflix.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I did just finish up Luke Cage season 2.
I haven't started it yet.
It's good.
I'm still working my way through Jessica Jones season 3.
Okay, that's the one that just came out. Last one just came out.
Yeah. But it popped up on there, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, so I'm going in order of how they're released.
Yeah, I should probably do that, but I don't.
Yeah, it's all good. But anyway, back to what we're actually talking about here. Yeah, we're reading Swamp Thing, issue 34 through 42.
35.
35 through 42. Sorry. They were published by DC in 1985. The writer is Alan Moore. Art was done by Stephen Bissett, John Tuttleman, Stan Watch, Woch, W-O-C-H, Woch.
Watch.
Watch.
Watcher. It's British for watch. Watch.
Rick Veitch, Alfredo Alcala, and Ron Randall. Colors by Tatiana Wood. Letters by John Costanza. If you'd like to check out our previous episodes on Swamp Thing.
Did you write them down this time?
I did.
Hey.
You can check out episodes 31 through 38 and 97 through 103.
So
and
basically what you're getting for our Swamp Thing is our fledgling about the middle and then, you know, now.
Well, we still have three more volumes to go
through. No. I meant like far as like our experience levels go.
Yeah. and that covers all of Alan Moore's run.
And so this far. Also peaks where we're at for podcasting. We'll never get better than this. Sorry, guys.
I'm not wrong. So we'll start out with this first issue here, issue 35, and
I just this cover out, like yeah okay cool. Right here the opening like this was this the actual cover then?
This cover, yeah.
Okay, you've got like which it won't make sense to you right now, but there's this smoking can of dog food on the ground, and then there's this newspaper that's burning behind it with Swamp Thing laying there choking to death basically. But the newspaper that's burning has this basically like a skull-esque face in it. But the thing that really got me was the newspaper actually has like literal articles written in it to where you can sort of read them.
Did you by chance read through any of the articles in the issues itself?
Are you talking about like the cutouts?
I think it was mainly in the second issue. Yeah.
I read everything that was in there.
Okay, so. I didn't read all of them, but I read a few of them. Like, that's
awesome. Yeah. Anyways,
all right, let's go start out here. We get into
the story. You've got
well, and if you remember, at the very last issue we did, issue 34,
sex scene.
Yep.
Okay.
So I don't think this is picking up right from that. I think this is just them after. It's pretty obvious that Abby and Swamp Thing are now an item. So she goes out there and hangs out with him all the time.
He's been planting the seeds in her, if you know what I mean.
Literally, yeah.
But the opening page is Swamp Thing and Abby just kind of chilling.
Abby's asleep. Swamp Thing is kind of sitting there just contemplating. It almost looks like
brooding, he's just, almost maybe.
I won't say brooding. He's sitting there just thinking,
or maybe he's just feeling around because he can literally sense everything around him. So like
he can sense
the green.
Yeah, but he can't. He doesn't know his full potential yet, and we'll actually dip into that later on.
But then it pulls us over to a couple of what do you call those, transients?
Vagabonds. Transient works though.
Yeah. They're setting in the swamp. I assume they're in the swamp. Anyways, it looks like the swamp.
It's swamp adjacent.
Yeah, and
the one guy
is drunk.
The one guy's drunk. He's wearing a old veteran's jacket. He's leaning up against a tree. And he is talking to this other individual that comes walking up.
In a trench coat looking thing.
Well, and the unique thing about him is that he's got a trail of footprints behind him. But the footprints seem to be glowing a little bit.
They're almost like milky white looking like on this.
But he also keeps calling the other guy Ed.
Yeah. And he's like, my name's not Ed. It's Bob. My name's Bob.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, who cares? These days it doesn't matter. Nobody gives a damn anymore. But they get a fire lit, which I also like this. There's an actual Swamp Thing issue.
Yes.
In there.
Like this issue was great. It's called the Nuke Face Papers Part 1.
Yeah.
And we do see the hands of the gentleman in the trench coat, and they seem to be
like pussing almost.
Yep.
Like open sores.
Boils that seem to be popping open, yeah. And then Bob is
He's like, yeah, I got thrown out, and
Mrs. Merle threw me out of the house. The trench coat guy just keeps talking about Pennsylvania. Like, I'm a Pennsylvania man. I'll tell you all about Pennsylvania. And Bob's like, man, I'm out of drink. Out of juice is what he says.
Yeah, so his booze is all gone.
Mm-hmm. So the trench coat guy offers him some of his. And Bob, without even asking what it is, just knocks it back.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I like this right here also. The Pennsylvania 65,000.
Yeah.
You know, like Transylvania 65,000.
Yeah.
And when he first did the da 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 da, like right over here, I was like, no, can't be right. And then when he did the Transylvania, Pennsylvania 65,000, I'm like, haha, Transylvania 65,000.
Oh, yeah, it was stuck in my head after I read this.
Huh.
It was great.
Anyways, so getting back to the drink that Bob got from, well, they don't actually give his name.
Don't give his name yet.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think they give his name
until way after.
In this issue at all.
I think you're right. But anyways, he the what he drank starts basically melting him from the inside out. Like, he hacks it up, and then it shows him, like, he starts crying, and you can see it, like, dribbling out of his mouth. And,
yeah, it's not going down well.
Yeah.
And then we see the face of the Trenchcoat Man, and he looks terrible.
Nasty. He's got, like, a bunch of boils and sores and stuff all over his face. He's missing some teeth.
Very nuclear face, you might say.
I don't get it.
Yeah. we'll get into that next issue. I got some qualms with that one. But he's just...
He goes into this, like, spiel about Pennsylvania and what happened with all the... What is it? A mine that got closed down or something like that?
I think it was a mine. It might have been a
coal mine. Yeah, coal mine.
So, yeah, coal mine that closed down in 68. He's talking... I'm not going to say nonsense because it makes sense to him.
Yeah,
but he's definitely talking nonsense to Bob.
Yeah, and it's basically like a little pieces of a story that, you know, he thinks are relevant, but...
But he just keeps repeating himself. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how relevant it really is. We then go over to this couple, Wallace and Treasure.
So it wasn't Wallace and Gromit?
No.
Dang.
Yeah, but her name actually was Treasure, which
she was a stripper until he knocked her up.
It's possible. But that's weird.
Regardless, not that we have anything wrong with strippers. It was just the name Treasure.
Yeah, that was just a weird-ass name.
Right?
Okay.
Because I thought it was a nickname at first.
That's what I thought until the second issue when they actually said her name is Treasure.
I was like, oh.
Huh? Okay, but yeah, so they're gonna leave. They are the company set him up somewhere else in Louisiana. For whatever reason, they moved him from Pennsylvania to Louisiana. But
anyways, right here that he's talking about how the company used the strip mines as slag or the slag pits to dump nuclear waste and do some testing and stuff. But they're talking about how a bunch of tramps and bums and transients are starting to they were disappearing and vanishing and nobody had any idea what was happening to them. And
here's where we get the ones that are vanishing. They said the Treasurer is saying to Wallace, they said he was out on a bender with Nukeface. You know, what does that mean, do you think? And
he's got this shocked look on his face, like, how would she know?
He's got a look like, that's recognition. I know what she's talking about. But, of course, he's got to play off. Like, no, everything's fine. Everything is okay. So, but they end up leaving. So, we actually get our introduction. We can piece it together. This guy is Nukeface, the guy in the trench coat. So, we're going to start calling him Nukeface from now.
Yeah, because guy in trench coat's too long to say.
It is.
So we go back to Nukeface and Bob, and Bob is like his face is starting to like boil.
I feel bad for Bob,
right?
Yeah,
all he wanted was a drink.
Yeah, he literally puts his finger in his mouth and pulls out a tooth.
Basically, he's going through like a
very
hardcore radiation.
Yeah,
like
it's just like everything hit him right on, and the entire time Nukeface is just babbling on about. Pennsylvania
and the coal mine and then he's like
he still calls him Ed.
Yeah, and he's talking about how he got stuck inside of one of the coal mines and how when he was trying to or when he was there he was thirsty and the only thing they had laying around was these basically nuclear waste. So and he's like but when you're thirsty what are you supposed to do, Ed? And he's like I drank it and I just have to keep drinking it. I can't not have it to drink.
So he came down to Louisiana because he knew or
he heard.
Did he hear or did he feel?
I think what they had said was that he had known somehow that they were starting to dump down there.
Well, they were transporting stuff down there.
That's what it was. They were transporting it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he followed because he needs that wicked, wicked juice. The entire time, Bob is falling to pieces, literally.
Yeah, like teeth falling out, his face is melting. His
it almost looks like his face is becoming oblong, like it's just like drooping down.
Why the long face?
Literally,
And then you know, Nuke Face is like, got a nice good fire started up here. Keep us nice and warm. You like the fire I made? And you know,
Bob doesn't say a word because he's dead.
Yeah, he's literally been melted from the inside out.
Yep. We go back to Swamp Thing, and he is in the middle of a dream, but he's walking through this town that is just decimated. But he can feel it in him. He knows that it's a death town.
It's a bad place. Something bad. Something awful that and bright that kissed the world and left its smeared blue lipstick print.
He ends up waking up, realizes it's a dream, but he can't get the feeling that there's trouble about. So he leaves Abby B. He's going to let her sleep. And he goes wandering off just to have a look.
The dream has made him so uneasy that he feels like there's something wrong.
He's
close at hand.
He's on edge.
Yeah.
So we go back to Bob. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, hey, first we've got down here at the bottom of these newspaper articles. The one says nuclear warning. And then like if you read through it a little bit, it talks about safety guidelines for the dump sites and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then it says that Pennsylvania needed to solve its toxic waste dump site problem. And that blah, blah, blah was working on it with the Chamber of Commerce. And then you go to the next one. It says eating toxic waste worries.
Easing toxic waste. I think I heard eating. Easing toxic. Yeah.
Yeah. That just goes on to say about the problem that they're having with the toxic waste dump sites. And how they can't have one located anywhere near the area, so they were having to basically move it on. Which I thought it was kind of cool that they, you know, did that in newspaper articles, so you get kind of a little extra.
You other get than more of a backstory. Yeah. I'll admit, I did not read those. All of them. I read a few of them. Not all of them.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading this at work.
Yeah.
So
was I. But I was also reading
a little more time.
Well, I was reading it at work when I was supposed to be, you know, at home. I was waiting on the last bit of stuff to come into the lab so you that, go. You know.
We go back to the book and we see these guys dumping these
barrels of toxic waste.
I mean, it is toxic waste.
It's
into the swamp.
Yeah, it's got the radioactive.
That's it. Yeah. So, and these guys don't care. Like, they're doing a job. They're told to dump it here, so they dump it here.
And then these guys right here are like, what time is that nerd Monroe arriving? Tomorrow around noon, bringing his old lady with him. A little fat broad, always talking about Jesus. Didn't she have some funny name? What the hell was it? Treasure. Oh, yeah, Treasure. That's right.
So, you know, talk about Wallace Monroe and his wife Treasure.
Wait, I wonder if that Monroe is, no, it wasn't Monroe, though, was it? The dude that turned into the other plant thing?
Woodrow,
that's what it was.
Woodrow.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways.
So these guys just, they're done doing the job. They hop in the truck and they leave. Swamp Thing is just happens to be about because this was part of the feeling he knew something was wrong. And he walks up to the little pond lake thing.
Where you can already see the stuff seeping out into the waters.
Yep. And he's like, well, he doesn't say anything, but the look he gives is just like, well, I can't do anything. Like, it's already down there. Mm-hmm. Again, he doesn't know the full extent of his power. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
He could do something. So.
But we go back to Bob and Nuke Face.
Bob looks terrible.
He is, like, literally nothing but pus and melted skin. And Nuke Face walks over and he's like, oh, I just need one more taste. And he sloshes some more of his drink into his mouth. And he's like, hey, it's been good talking to you, buddy. You take care of yourself now. And he picks up this dead dude's hand and like shakes it.
Yep.
And then walks away. And then we've got a little panel out of the paper again that says a uranium shipment. Paris, August 26th. A French cargo ship that sank off the coast of Belgium Saturday night was carrying containers filled with a form of uranium used to make fuel for nuclear reactors, the ship's owner and French government officials said tonight. And then it just goes on. So, like, basically, this episode is, like, hardcore hitting nuclear waste.
Mm-hmm. We're following Bob.
No.
Nuke Face. We're following Nuke Face.
There's nowhere one to thing... follow Bob.
Nope, not anymore. One thing I noticed in the first issues...
couple panels, the nasty pus sacks?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
At I first,
Well, see, when I first saw those, I just thought it was something in the, you know, like in
the forest itself. Yeah. Yeah.
That I was like, oh, you know, maybe it's just coming some kind of nasty plant that I didn't know about.
Yeah, no, but these panels in particular make it more apparent that they are just, it almost looks like the tree itself is
dying,
pulsating, similar to how how
Bob was dying, mm-hmm. because like just this guy's presence alone is making the plant sick and yep. tumorous and stuff like that.
And so Nukeface is wandering around,
and he's all excited because he thinks that
he
knows where he knew that they were dumping, so he was going down there to get, you know, mm-hmm. part of the dump. But when he gets there, it's already buried itself in the bottom yep. of the water, and he can't get to it.
And he tries. Like, he takes a couple steps into the water, and he tries to kind of start digging.
And as he's doing that, Swamp Thing comes up on him. Mm-hmm. And, he calls Swamp Thing Ed.
Yep.
Which I love. Because apparently everybody is Ed.
Yeah, everybody's Ed to him.
And,
But he's crying. He's sad. He's mad because they buried it in the mud, and he can't get to it.
And Swamp Thing's face is basically, like, horrified.
Yes. And because then he doesn't know what he's looking at. Like, he's pretty sure this guy's a human.
But he doesn't...
No human he's ever seen. He's
radiating, you know, this toxic energy.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic masculinity. No.
Toxic Avenger.
Not quite.
Nope.
Toxic Avenger was a good guy, too, sort of. No. Actually, he really wasn't. He was just kind of...
he was a nerd.
He was getting a nerd revenge.
That, yeah. Anyway.
Against the fake-titted women of his...
So, Nukeface comes up to Swamp Thing, and he's like, hey, you gotta help me. We can get this stuff out. You just gotta help me dig it out.
And as he touches him, he burns a hole into Swamp Thing's chest yep. with his hand. And then Swamp Thing falls over. He's trying, like, he's actually trying to help him up again, is what he's doing. Like, it looks like he's attacking him, but what he was doing was actually trying to help him up. He's like, hey, you okay? Here, let me help you up.
And, because he grabs him by the arm and grabs his... Or put his hand on his chest again. To pick up Swamp Thing.
So, I mean, it's not that Nukeface is actually, like, a bad guy.
Exactly.
He's just toxic because of what happened to him.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't know he's doing anything wrong. Everything he's doing, he thinks he's helping.
Yeah, and
talking to people and telling the story and, oh, you want a drink? Here you go.
Yeah, and then here, when you know, Swamp Thing's laying down there, he's talking about, you know, how he'd better go back and try to save his strength to dig up the stash. Mm-hmm. And then he says, I don't have much left, but hell, what are friends for, right? And he's like, here, Ed, I got something for you. So he goes over to Swamp Thing and pours the rest of this nuclear waste that he's been drinking down Swamp Thing's throat.
Which inadvertently starts eating away at Swamp Thing. And again, Nukeface doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
He's sitting there, he's like, hey, let me tell you about Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the first issue. As we have Swamp Thing
decaying
from the inside and the outside. It looks pretty wicked. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Swamp Thing story.